KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have light snow, 34 degrees in Atlantic. We do look for an 80% chance of rain or snow through midday, and then all rain this afternoon, a high around 40. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. In state news, Republicans in the Iowa House have voted to take the first step toward giving Iowans the opportunity to add a gun rights amendment to the state's constitution. The same proposal would have to clear the legislature in 2019 or 2020 before Iowa voters could decide on whether to add the gun rights language to the state's constitution. If adopted, it requires courts to strictly scrutinize any gun laws. Representative Skylar Wheeler, a Republican from Orange City, dismissed what he called lawyer talk, criticizing that part of the proposal.
Whether you like it or not, we do have a fundamental individual right to keep and bear arms. And I like having a way to ensure that I keep that freedom against those who want to strip that from me.
Representative Liz Bennett, a Democrat from Cedar Rapids, called the proposal extreme.
Making it harder to keep guns out of the hands of people who shouldn't have them, instead of working for gun safety. When we're talking about life and liberty, why aren't we talking about the life and liberty of kids who have died in the classroom?
Representative Mary Wolfe, a Democrat from Clinton, said the proposal would open up a Pandora's box of litigation.
And would, in my opinion, result in the finding that a lot of our current firearm safety laws are, in fact, unconstitutional.
Representative Matt Winchittle, a Republican from Missouri Valley, said the proposal will put a halt to government overreach when it comes to gun regulations.
If you just want to think I'm some crazy gun-loving kook, fine. Have at that. But think about this. Voting no on this here tonight is denying Iowans an opportunity to have their voice heard in what they want in their state constitution.
After 3 hours of debate, the House passed the proposal on a 52-42 vote. All 54 yes votes came from Republicans. Two Republicans, Representative Dave Heaton of Mount Vernon and Andy McKean of Anamosa, joined all the Democrats in the House voting no. The Iowa Secretary of State's office have rejected the June 5th primary election nominating petitions submitted by 3rd Congressional District candidate Teresa Greenfield, saying Greenfield failed to meet the number of minimum number of signatures required by Iowa code. Her petitions for the 3rd District Democratic primary were submitted just before 5 p.m. deadline on Friday, March 16th. They were reviewed by the Secretary of State's Elections Divisions on Monday and included fewer than 1,500 signatures. The minimum number required is 1,790. The nomination papers from the 1st Congressional District candidate Courtney Rowe, a Democrat, and gubernatorial candidate Ron Corbett, a Republican, were reviewed and accepted. The full list of candidates whose papers have been received and accepted is available at the Iowa Secretary of State's website at sos.iowa.gov. No candidate has officially qualified for the ballot at this point. The deadline to file an official challenge to any candidate's nomination papers is this Friday, March 23rd at 5 p.m. Elsewhere in the news, the last of three people charged has pleaded guilty to setting a fire that destroyed a Madison County covered bridge featured on the cover of the novel The Bridges of Madison County. Records say 18-year-old Alexander Hoff entered the plea Monday in Winterset. His sentencing is set for April 23rd. Prosecutors say Hoff, Olivia Bergman, and Joel Davis set fire to the Cedar Bridge in April of last year. Bergman and Davis have pleaded guilty and await sentencing. The bridge near Winterset was also featured in the 1995 movie adaptation, The Bridges of Madison County. A traffic stop last Saturday at the intersection of 290th and Quail Avenue in Taylor County resulted in the arrest of a man wanted on a nationwide warrant. 35-year-old Jacob Lee Reibold was arrested on a warrant out of New Mexico for embezzlement for amounts over $2,500. Reibold was being held at the Taylor County Jail pending extradition. Officials of the Mills County Sheriff's Office said Monday that a traffic stop just before 2 p.m. Sunday resulted in a woman being taken into custody on drug charges. The vehicle was stopped for an equipment violation in Glenwood. The Mills County K-9 unit was called in to assist with the traffic stop. During the investigation and upon searching the vehicle, 38 Zoloft pills and a marijuana pipe were located in the vehicle. 21-year-old Bailey Taylor was taken into custody for unlawful possession of prescription pills and possession of drug paraphernalia. Taylor was brought to the Mills County Jail and held on a $1,300 bond. A traffic stop at around 6:10 p.m. Monday in Creston resulted in the arrest of 21-year-old Ryan Parmenter of Creston. Parmenter was taken into custody for driving while suspended. He was later released from the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. The Adair County Sheriff's Office said yesterday two people were arrested on drug charges last week. 34-year-old Robert J. Edson II of Pleasant Hill and 28-year-old Natasha Lee Kane of Marshalltown were arrested around 3:30 a.m. on March 11th by Stewart Police following a traffic stop. The officer noticed a strong smell of marijuana coming from the 2004 Pontiac Grand Am. The driver, Natasha Kane, was asked to come back to the patrol vehicle for questioning, and at that time, the officer could smell the odor of marijuana coming from her. Kane admitted to having smoked pot just prior to the traffic stop and that there was marijuana roach near the front driver's seat. Also in the vehicle were Kane's two minor children, another minor female who claimed to be Kane's niece, and an adult male, Robert Edson II. When Edson consented to be searched, the officer found a small plastic baggie with a blue pill inside, which Edson admitted was Xanax, and that he had a prescription, but there was no evidence to support his claim. He allegedly lied to the officer about his name as well. It was discovered that Edson II had warrants for his arrest out of Story and Polk counties. He was arrested on the warrants and for unlawful possession of a prescription drug. His bond at the Adair County Jail was set at $1,000. Kane was arrested for possession with the intent to deliver after 10.2 ounces of marijuana was found in the trunk of her car. She was also charged with child endangerment without injury. Her bond was set at $7,000 and she was released on bond later that morning. Adair County Sheriff Jeff Vanderwater reported also yesterday that 36-year-old Dustin Lee Driscoll of Creston was arrested at around 1 a.m. on March 11th following a traffic stop for unsafe passing in Orient. Driscoll was taken into custody for OWI first offense and later released on bond. 49-year-old Fletcher Lee Nichols of Oneida was arrested March 12th in Adair County following a traffic stop. He was charged with driving under suspension and released from the scene on a citation. 22-year-old Brett Michael Cheers of Creston was arrested March 16th in Adair County for driving under suspension. He was also released from the scene with a citation. 48-year-old Michael Ray Johnson of Des Moines was arrested March 14th following a traffic stop for speeding on I-80. He was arrested for driving while barred and later released on $2,000 bond. And 28-year-old Matthew Ryan Johnson of Fontenelle was arrested March 15th on a felony warrant or minimus for theft in the second degree. He was being held in the Adair County Jail to serve a 30-day sentence. Council Bluffs police said yesterday no injuries were reported after a trailer came loose Monday morning from a pickup and caused an accident that involved two vehicles. Authorities later in the day issued a revision to their accident report. They say 80-year-old Lucas Dennis of Winnebago, Minnesota, was driving a 2016 Dodge Ram pickup truck pulling a single-axle trailer when the trailer became unhitched. Both were traveling north on Interstate 29 near Nebraska Avenue at around 6 a.m. when the incident occurred. Officials said the trailer's safety chains were attached, but they failed to secure the trailer and broke apart when the trailer unhitched itself from the pickup. The trailer entered the median and entered the southbound lanes of I-29 where it was struck by a pickup that was driven by 41-year-old Matthew Ruddle of Omaha. Ruddle told Bluffs police that by the time he realized what was happening, he did not have time to take evasive action. After Ruddle's pickup hit the trailer, the vehicle rolled and ended up in the median. Ruddle, who was wearing a seatbelt, suffered a minor cut to his forehead but refused medical treatment at the scene. The trailer remained in the southbound lanes where it was hit by a 2006 Ford Focus driven by 33-year-old Guadalupe Lemus of Council Bluffs. The impact caused the airbags on Lemus's vehicle to deploy. He was wearing a seatbelt and was not injured. Both vehicles sustained disabling damage. Police cited Lucas Dennis for failure to secure a load. And police in Glenwood report 30-year-old Corey Madsen of Glenwood was arrested Saturday for possession of meth and driving under suspension. Madsen's cash or surety bond was set at $2,000. Glenwood police said also they're trying to figure out who the driver was of a vehicle that struck a cluster of mailboxes sometime late Friday night or early Saturday morning. The incident at the corner of Glenbrook Drive and Pinehurst Circle was reported around 7:50 a.m. Saturday. During the collision, the cluster of mailboxes were damaged and the post they were attached to was uprooted. There were no tire tracks or vehicle parts left behind from the scene. The damage was estimated at $1,000. That's a look at the news this hour, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Give them a call today at 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.